Good morning. Happy Easter, everyone. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We're so glad to have you joining us online this morning. Sorry that you can't be here in a room together, worshiping and just celebrating side by side, but don't let that hold you back. Please don't let that hold you back from reaching out to those you love today. Use FaceTime, text, phone. Reach out and share and celebrate today all that it holds for us. Let's make sure we stay connected with the body. Such a wonderful time to be excited in Jesus and to praise his name and to just get out and share the hope and the love of Christ. Amen. Well, also this morning, I just want to encourage us, you know, likewise. I mean, give of your life to others too. Look for ways. I know it's limited right now in contact, but look for ways that you can be serving one another and just, again, taking what God has done for us. So much of where he has changed our life by his love and sacrifice that I can't help but want to just give of myself back to God and, of course, then to others. So be creative. Think about what that looks like. Maybe it's an encouraging word to someone this morning. Maybe it's a way of meeting a need. And then speaking of that, we do want to remind you there are ways to give still, even though we are not here able to give in our church services. You can go online to our website at avaloncommunitychurch.org, and there's ways to give online there. You can also still mail in your giving to P.O. Box 98 at Avalon, California, 90704. And so we just do encourage you that those that are able to still give as you have income coming in, that we much appreciate as we continue to just trust together in the Lord's provision for the work that he's given us here in our community, because we want to continue to be an impact in this great time of need. I would just close with one other reminder that we do have our food pantry that's regularly going each week on Wednesdays. There are many coming for food right now. We've had donations that have been coming and flowing into that. We say thank you for that. There's a few volunteers that have stepped in to pass out those bags of food. So keep that in prayer and just know that there are ways that you can be giving into that as well. It's just so neat to see how we can be on the ground right now in ways of bringing positive encouragement physically in those bags of food. And yet, like I say this morning, God may lead us to come in so many other ways to bring encouragement to those around us. And so now let's just turn our hearts, our thoughts upon him. Let's celebrate, right? This is Easter Sunday. Let's lift our spirits, lift our voices to him in this place. Let's worship together.
Because I'm alive in you. It's all because
right.
And it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me. Into your glorious
that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet, now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise. That held us now gives way to Him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me.
Your Spirit.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit
soldiers watched in vain, was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave.
Our God.
Our God has robbed the grave. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
He's resurrecting me. Another part of life, Lord. May your spirit.
Resurrect me. You're resurrecting me. Thank you, Jesus, for this work, this freedom. It started on that day when you rose, but it begins and continues now for the rest of our lives, this resurrecting, this newness of life, this hope and redemptive work over the things that had held us enslaved. And just in bondage to these things that we could not be free from. And now you have freed us because it no longer holds us. And no longer death has a sting. And so we just praise you. We just enter into your word this morning. Lord, open our hearts to receive the life, the love. This is like celebration time for us because of the truth of the gospel. So we go to your gospel. We go to your word this morning. We lift it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame is now robed in majesty. The radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. The fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. By your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name, I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. What a powerful song this morning. We need you, Lord. Today we lift the name of the Lord. We thank God for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He is alive and well, and praise God to that. We have a reason to rejoice. The people that rejoice today will experience a victory after their battles. If someone is nearby that you are quarantined with, and it's okay, grab the hand of your neighbor and say, God is taking me places, and you might want to hold on to me. We're expecting great things in your life today and a very special Easter greeting to you. I welcome all of our online listeners from Catalina and across the miles. From Catalina's leeward coastline, cove cabins, or maybe you're in a tent out there in one of our coves, all the way across the miles to a small orphanage in Thailand, we have a reason to rejoice this morning. We want to speak a better word and talk about a God that is active and alive today. Amen? Through the resurrection, There is hope in everything and potential inside of every person. Amen? Yeah. Lots of scripture today. We're not focusing on these, but I want to mention these because they're some of my favorites for this specific season to encourage all of you listening. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." What a great passage in Isaiah chapter 60 there. We're moving to John chapter 11, another great couple of verses, verses 25 and 26 of John 11. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" The question from the Master spoken to all of us today from the book of John. Another incredible scripture as we look at Easter season today. Mark chapter 16, New Testament, Mark 16, verses 1 through 6. Jesus' resurrection has taken place. And it says here that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And this is when the Sabbath was over, very early the next day of the week, just after the sunrise. They were on their way to the tomb. They asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," verse 6 says. He said, "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Aren't those great passages? I mean, in all that we're dealing with today and for the last several weeks and maybe weeks to come, what great passages to focus on this morning. Just allow yourself to go back and stay in these verses over the weekend and pull your life together and your soul back in order by understanding that the tomb is empty. I want to share with you two Easter scriptures that I'm focusing on this morning. If you have something to write with, you want to jot down some notes, I'm looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Then I'm going to cross down a little bit deeper into the New Testament to John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. And going back to 1 Peter 1, he's about to deliver a message here in classic Hebrew scripture format. And this is quite a, it's almost like a long extended run-on sentence of just beautiful passion from Peter for his master. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, "Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." My friends, we can relate to that right now, big time. Let's look at verse 7. "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 8, though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Verse 10, Peter's still going off here. It's so good. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Love that. Even angels long to look into these things. Boy, we're going to break that scripture down in just a moment. But keep a finger in that reference and now flip over to John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. I love covering our scripture up front, and then as we get into the sermon, we'll make reference to it. So keep your Bible open to these. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8, the empty tomb early on the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. What a foot race. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. Even angels long to look into these things. I love that scripture from 1 Peter and this account also given from John. Even angels are envious of you right now because of the perspective that you have concerning God's grace. Today I want to talk to you about, come on in, God has something to show you. Or a tomb with a view, so to speak. That stone was rolled away, and once inside, you had a heck of a view back out. God has something to show you today. Open your eyes. This week, I've been asking God to bless my perspective. There is nothing in my life that is not affected by my perspective. It all starts with my perspective. And I want to read the Bible in a new and helpful way and have a better perspective to see it as God intended it to be read. So what perspective should I share with the church today? What's kind of on my heart all week? Take parenting, for example. Maybe parenting can be frustrating for some of you because of the many perspectives. It's largely due to the fact that you as a parent have all the experience and they, the kids, have all of the ego. There's a heck of a lot of homeschooling going on right now. A lot of families having to stay indoors for a chunk of the day in regards to the quarantined efforts that are going on. So a lot of patience is needed. Maybe you're the parent of young kids, and a common theme is to respect my perspective. On occasion, your kids give you some valuable perspective, though, don't they? In a sense, we're all giving everyone around us some perspective. Kids give us perspective because they're not running around or as busy these days. They're indoors. And you hear new things or new ways to view things. Experience also creates some level of perspective, sort of like perspective in reverse. There's a big difference between the event and the experience. In today's scripture, we see two different perspectives, but from the same event. It is good and healthy to get perspective from those that witnessed the resurrection firsthand and then talk about how this resurrection plays out in our lives. Resurrection is meant to achieve results in our lives, and it meant to affect our reality. John is providing us some killer perspective here. 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter is writing to a persecuted church for people located in Asia Minor. Peter provides some prophetic significance of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, or the sovereign nature of Jesus Christ. Peter writes a perspective that's different. Instead of explaining the resurrection event, he talks about the ongoing experience concerning the resurrection event. I love reading that perspective. Resurrection is not only an event, it is a perspective. Today, Easter, we need a resurrection perspective. We all need to see our life from this perspective. The Bible says that if we believe in Christ, we are to set our mind on things above. Today, I want you to understand this resurrection perspective similar to the way I see it, where you are transformed in such a way that your perspective takes you to a new level of praise. That's where God wants us. Just fall on your knees and praise. Let your perspective be one in awe and wonder at what this miracle has done. Several of my family members, all of us, including Daniel, who lives with us, have been quarantined this week, and we tapped into a great series that's actually free and on YouTube right now called The Chosen. The Chosen. If you haven't seen at least the first couple of episodes, you better catch up and jump in there. What a great thing to be playing for free on YouTube, especially this time of the year. The life of Christ, basically when his ministry was starting at about age 30. And I won't forget what I saw last night when watching the wedding feast at Cana, when Jesus turned water into wine. I don't want to ruin it for you. I know Scripture tells us already who got to witness that miracle. But watch specifically, I think it's episode 5 when you get a chance, and watch the reaction of Thomas as he saw this miracle firsthand right in front of him, and just the praise that came from his lips, the life change that was going on, his look on his face. It was epic. The frustrating thing about the resurrection perspective is that it does not come all at once. It's probably the most frustrating thing. It's a process. Nobody really is super happy with processes. But there's also beauty in the fact that you are part of this resurrection and the process. It'd be one thing if you're already walking and talking like Jesus. However, for all of us, Peter tells us that there's this process of resurrection happening in our life, and you are living in the glory that they could only see from a distance back then. You're living in the revelation that Peter and others could only imagine. How privileged we are to live in a time where the evidence of the Spirit is inside of us. So we are privileged to benefit from the perspective of eyewitness accounts from those who suffered, where Peter also communicates the privilege, even in the midst of intense persecution, where a sufferer for Christ and with Christ is a place of great honor. This is difficult, and it's a new perspective. John is providing a recount of events 40 to 60 years after the resurrection. John is reflecting. Both perspectives of John and Peter tell us something about the results of the resurrection. You are living in revelation that Peter only imagined in his mind. Resurrection is meant to affect some level of reality and results in our lives. So Peter shares a prayer in verse 3 that he probably picked up in a Jewish synagogue. I mean, it's about as polished as it gets. It is 11 verses. Daniel's looking at me funny right now back in the sound booth going, yeah, that was a long prayer. And it makes up one long sentence in the Greek text. My friends, if you were an English teacher, Peter is not your guy, okay? In fact, Peter would have flunked eighth grade English, most likely, looking at this series of run-ons here. However, what makes for bad English makes for a great beatitude. When Peter starts seeing the mercy of Jesus as revealed through the resurrection and the process and progress of Jesus in his life, he's got a lot to say, and he just says it. You know why? Because he now knows God for himself, my friends. It's different when you know God for yourself. It's different when you are forgiven for your own sin. It's different when you felt his presence when you were all alone. Can you relate this morning as you're listening? If different and a little uncomfortable because you've walked through the shadow of death and walked out to the other side, when you are not just praising God because the preacher told you to, but you're praising God because you know I've made it through this and who has done this for me, what God has done for you personally, you'll go on and on and on about it, just like Peter. Let me ask you, do you have personal understanding that God can bring you through the trial that you're facing right now? Do you have personal understanding how patient God is? How about how kind God is? Peter thinks this way because he has a blessed perspective. Peter is so happy, he starts talking on one wonderful sentence about the perspective of the resurrection. He starts with, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he says this prayer in one breath. Yes, on one breath. Peter provides one of the most brilliant perspectives of results of the resurrection. When Jesus hung on the cross and breathed out his last breath, he also breathed out the potential and possibility of the church that you are sitting in right now. Remember, it's not a building. The church is you. It's God's body, the body of Christ, the people. And he gave potential and possibility to all of us. In one breath, Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and then the disciples received the Holy Spirit. It was during Pentecost that the gospel went to the world in tongues of fire. The Bible says, "For everything that is breath, praise the Lord." It's the reason that you have tuned in to listen today. With the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to go to new levels of praise. Amen? Yeah. Also note that Peter is not praising God for a nice house and the fact that he's virus-free. A car, perhaps, or financial assistance in this rough economy, or a brand new watch, or, you know, whatever. He's praising God for a faith to make it through the fire. Peter's making reference to your suffering, to a kind of fire that refines even gold. This new level of praise. Peter's praise is a personal praise and a persevering praise. This means that our life can operate at a new level of praise. He is no longer the God of just Abraham, the God of just Isaac, the God of Jacob, but the God of our fathers. Peter says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this is personal, man. This is a personal praise. This is not a praise for what God did for someone else or something that happened in the past. The reason that we come to this online church today is to praise God personally for everything that He's done in our lives, for all that He's forgiven in our past, for all that He has established. Do you have a personal praise? Do you have a personal reason to rejoice? This is a new level of praise. This is not the kind of praise that praises God only when you're experiencing the evidence of His grace and goodness. What we now have is the kind of praise that praises God in the fire in your trials. This is what is meant by a new level of praise. Peter has a personal perspective regarding what it means to praise God. It's personal. Many people praise God in many different ways, different styles, personality types. I've heard it all. And when we start learning, and literally we are starting to learn, that is not as important as to how we praise God, but rather that we just praise Him, okay? How we do it is not as important as the fact that we need to do it. Verse 6, Peter says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Peter says that trials come for specific purposes, allowing them to come, whatever they may be. Verse 7, Peter says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So the theological principle may be a progressive revelation. It means that the prophets saw God as clearly as they understood, okay? Stated another way, God did not change as the Bible was being written, but our view of God changed as He came nearer and nearer. Is anybody listening to me right now? Amen? The climatic revelation of the person in Jesus Christ, the closer He got, the more our view of God started to change. Peter says that the prophet saw God from one perspective and was pointing towards what we are presently getting to live in right now. We have the personal view. They did not experience the level of mercy and grace that we continue to have the opportunity to experience. According to Peter, this is a great privilege where even the angels long to look into these things. It's pretty sweet. Here we see, and by the way, praise God, in a personal way and a powerful way. Not only do we praise at another level, but we also have a new purpose or power in our life, a new proof of power, such that we should greatly rejoice. Peter says, insert whatever, okay? The virus crisis, emotional crisis, financial crisis, spiritual, relational, whatever it is, the fire you're going through into His level of praise. The sort of praise that is fireproof. The actual insert is not important. What is important is that you now have a faith that can make it through the fire. It's a resilient faith. In Latin, resilient equals the ability to jump again, to get your bounce back like Tigger. They can't hold you down. Having a resurrection perspective means that you only have to be down and out for 3 days in a tomb. See your life from the vantage point of the tomb. You have the proof of power. New Yorker magazine did a study of resilient people. Said, what sets these people apart? The article is quite long, but they talk about the difference between a traumatic event versus a traumatic experience. In this article, they studied a group of children over 4 decades to better understand how these kids thrived, where the odds were stacked against them, so to speak. They studied kids that endured domestic violence and other major life stresses. For all of the kids that were resilient, they found one commonality. For those that came out as gold after the fire. The difference between them was not the trauma they went through. It was how they treated the traumatic experience. The term traumatic event in and of itself is misleading. The event is not traumatic until you experience it as traumatic. Are you with me? There are things that happen in your life that you don't get to choose, especially right now in the history of mankind, okay? But you're always in control of how you experience the event, how you experience it. The cross was a traumatic event. So much so that those that followed him during his 3-year ministry left him. Why did the same event cause some to flee and some to stay? The event does not define your life. The event does not define your life. It is the experience that you have gone through that defines you. Faith will give you composure during difficult circumstances. Are you listening this morning? Faith will give you composure. Faith will give you a foundation. Faith will give you a praise. Peter says the resurrection is the center of it all, my friends. If you're listening this morning and it happens to be on Easter morning, man, what a joy to actually put this into perspective right now. It's the center of your faith. Prove it. How do we prove it? By maintaining our praise. By maintaining your power position, turning your trauma into triumph. You need to look at the cross and the empty tomb. When you say things from the perspective of the empty tomb, when you see things from the perspective of the empty tomb, when you encourage people from the perspective of the empty tomb, God says the faith that he gave you is real and will bring you through the fire and adversity and through all that is happening to the world right now that seems to be just so much on our shoulders. This means that your faith is genuine and it's real. My question to you today, is Jesus real to you? If your faith is not resilient, it's not real. If it was not gold when it came out, it was not gold when it went in, my friends. The fire proves the substance. Jesus had to die. He had to die in order to be resurrected so that the substance could be revealed. You get access to the same pattern. That same power is available to you. Let's go to the tomb that gives us a new level of power, a new level of praise, and a new point of view. This is what we need in our lives, not a new set of circumstances. Yes, I'd love for all of this stuff to go away tomorrow, but some of you need a new point of view and a new resurrection perspective. Listen to me. Those that turn trauma into triumph are the same people that see significance in the event that moves them forward. If you're going to go through fire, giving God glory means that the fire has purpose and was not for nothing. Nor was the death on the cross for nothing, even more importantly. The glory of God was the outcome. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8, in the empty tomb that we looked at, he's describing the event. Where Peter talks about the ongoing experience. John wrote this passage probably about 80 years of age when he wrote it. He got to the tomb first. He got there first. Have you ever heard the phrase, the older I get, the better I was? That's not my phrase, but I've heard that before, and I'm starting to actually feel it these days. Well, John bent over and looked into the tomb. Some of us are merely looking in. Peter, love it, goes into the tomb. This was not an ordinary tomb, because this was not an ordinary man. Because this is not an ordinary message. This is a tomb with a view, and the stone was rolled away. This is a tomb with promise and potential. And when Peter looked at the linen in the tomb, he scrutinized the contents where John merely surveyed. This is not an ordinary tomb. This was no ordinary cross. Perhaps you are now scrutinizing things. Are you tired of standing outside and now want to see this for yourself? Some things you can't see or understand when surveying from the outside. Peter says, come on in. To my Avalon crowd this morning that's listening, or from wherever you're at, come on in. See what resurrection power provides. Come check it out. Come on in. The message of Easter. Come on in. Enter in. God says, I never stop designing you or loving you. Come on in. My friends, what is stopping you? There is no stone here, baby. No stone. This is a tomb with a view. And God wants to move you to another level. When John came in, he believed. The resurrection moved from being an event to becoming a personal experience for John. Is the empty tomb the best way to describe it? I see the empty tomb as full. For real, I see it as full, even though it's been said as empty. It's full of hope. It's full of promise. It's full of potential. It's full of certainty. Full of forgiveness, full of redemption. There are many things that you've buried in the tomb of disappointment that God wants to resurrect this morning. Amen? Are you feeling buried? Are you feeling buried by disappointment and broken dreams? Are you feeling buried by the trials of life? God says, I know what you need. You need a tomb with a view. The light of the gospel comes to reveal his promise. And in this moment, to receive your resurrection power. Are you ready to come inside and see for yourself and experience your salvation and receive the grace of God? I close with this. Are you coming back to God or coming to God for the first time? Is today your day for salvation? Man, I sure hope it is. I want to pray with you right now. These scriptures are so appropriate for the season that we're all in right now, that many of us just feel so confused. Maybe it's reckless. It's crazy at home right now. But we know the way, we know the truth, and we know the life. That's what Jesus called himself. So right now, let me just agree with you in prayer. God, would you lead us like the shepherd that you are? Each moment of the days ahead, and help us to hear your still small voice as you call us to greener pastures of your presence. I pray for my brother and my sister, whatever their need is today, and I know you're able to meet it according to your glorious riches in Christ. Thank you that your wisdom and your peace are ours in abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for your love and for your support. Those of you who give to support this ministry, just so we can keep the gospel coming to those that are listening, so we can keep telling them about who Jesus is and what God's able to do. Shelly and I love you, and our family is standing up strong right alongside you. We're here for you. Let us know how we can be praying for you. We'll see you real soon. God bless.
So out of response to his word this morning, and just out of response to the redemptive work of Christ over our lives, let's just turn our praise. Let's turn our hearts to him as we lift with one voice together this morning our songs of praise.
Not with his presence here. Hallelujah, he's alive. died, all of creation cries, holy, holy is our God Almighty. The sting of death I fear, not with his presence here. Creation cries, holy, holy is our God Almighty. The sting of death I fear, not with his presence here. Hallelujah, he's alive.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, he's alive.
Hallelujah, he's.
Hallelujah, he's alive.
God bless you guys. Go out in the amazing redemptive work of Jesus Christ, who lives well in you, alive today. God bless you guys. Have a great day.